Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette for this state, Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025. As always, we begin the readings for today with the top stories. A. All right. Front and center, headline, but mostly a photograph. It reads, IHSA, postseason prep softball. Fun while it lasted. And there's a photograph of four girls, and they have their softball uniforms on, and their backs to the camera, and they're kind of, they've got their arms around each other, giving each other a hug. The caption reads, Unity softball players from left, Jenna Adkins, Reese Fry, and Carly Jameson, react to the Rockets' 2-0 loss to Auburn on Monday afternoon in a Class 2A super sectional game at Workman Family Softball Field on the Millikan University campus in Decatur. That photo is provided by Robin Scholes. That's Robin, R-O-B-I-N, Scholes, S-C-H-O-L-Z, Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. There'll be more on that story in sports if we have the time to read it today. The next headline reads, DAC, Danville Area Community College, contract extension for interim president on agenda. Wednesday, also the deadline to submit application for job. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y. You can reach her at J-B-A-I-L-E-Y at newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. The Danville Area Community College Board is expected to extend the interim president's contract at a special meeting Wednesday, which is also the deadline for applications for the position. The board will meet at 2 p.m. Wednesday on the DAC campus to consider extending interim president Randy Fletcher's contract through December 31st, according to board chairman Greg Wolf. Wolf says this is simply an extension to Fletcher's contract to allow the board time to review applicants based on our posting. Quote unquote. The board earlier met with criticism after it was revealed that it was offering Fletcher the position on a permanent basis and was in the process of negotiating his contract without seeking or considering other applicants. Thus, it launched a formal search by posting the job opening online in mid-May. Fletcher, an Oakwood native, became the interim president on December 16th, after the board approved a retirement agreement with former president Stephen Nocco. Fletcher left Eastern Florida State College in June of 2024 after a four-year stint as vice president for academic affairs and student affairs. The DAC president job posting requests a cover letter and resume be sent to trustees, T-R-U-S-T-E-E-S, at dac.edu, or mail to the DAC board secretary by Wednesday. The posting offers an annual salary of $195,233 and requires applicants to have a doctorate, preferably in higher education, from a regionally accredited institution, as well as 10 years experience as an academic executive and or administrative leader in a community college setting. The applicant should have an open, proactive, creative, and entrepreneurial style of leadership that embraces collaborative decision-making and relationships, as well as an extensive portfolio of experience in or knowledge of industrial, economic, and workforce development programs. Also on Wednesday, the board will consider acting on an engagement agreement with the law firm of Meyer Capel PC. Wolf said the attorney being hired is to work with the board on various matters. The next headline reads, Champaign County Court, third U of I protester accepts plea deal. Sentence, 2 days in jail, public service, 1 year probation. This article is by Luke Taylor. You can reach him at L-T-A-Y-L-O-R at newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. A third person who faced charges related to pro-Palestinian demonstrations last year on the University of Illinois campus has taken a negotiated plea deal. George Vassilatos, Vassilatos, 26 of Champaign, pleaded guilty Monday morning to a misdemeanor charge of obstructing a peace officer and saw a felony charge of mob action dismissed. He was sentenced to 12 months of probation, 30 hours public service work, and 2 days in jail with credit for time served. Unlike standard probation, he will not be required to notify the court if he plans to leave the state, as agreed upon by state's attorney Julia Reitz and defense attorney Tony Bruno. Vassilatos was one of the first arrested in connection with an encampment set up by demonstrators on April 26, 2024, near the alma mater statue. A total of 8 people have been charged. Protesters began setting up tents and similar structures at around 5:30 a.m. that day, after which U of I officials and U of I police officers arrived and asked that they be removed. Reitz said Vassilatos was one of a small group of demonstrators who spoke directly with officials from around 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Around the time that conversation ended, protesters formed a circle around the structures and linked arms to prevent University of Illinois facility staff from taking down the structures, Reitz said. Reitz said officers informed the individuals that they could be subject to arrest if they did not unlink their arms. They did not. And officers took Vassilatos into custody in order to break up the individuals, Reitz said. She said Vassilatos resisted arrest by dropping to the ground and not supporting his own weight, so the officers picked him up and carried him away. Bruno agreed that the state would be able to present evidence and witnesses to support the charge of obstructing a peace officer. Vassilatos' plea deal was similar to those accepted by Joseph M. Kleckner, 25, of Savannah, and Victor H. Smith, 21, of Champaign, each of whom pleaded guilty to obstructing a peace officer and saw a charge of mob action dismissed. Kleckner and Smith were each sentenced to 100 hours of public service, but did not serve any time in jail. Another of the 8 protesters facing charges, Yaffa Issa, 19, of Savoy, went to trial last month with similar results, with Champaign County Judge Roger Weber finding her guilty of obstructing a peace officer and dismissing a charge of mob action. Her sentencing is set for July, and despite her not taking a plea deal, Reed said the state plans to request 12 months of conditional discharge and 100 hours of public service, as it did with Kleckner and Smith. One moment, please. And that concludes the article. There is one photograph of protesters on that day. The caption reads, "Pro-Palestinian protesters assemble April 26, 2024, on the University of Illinois campus near the alma mater. An encampment they set up that day resulted in several arrests and charges against 8 people." That photo is provided by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. Next up, from Bob Asmussen. Coach makes right call. Tapping his farming roots, Bielema, that's Bielema, shifts into auction mode for a good cause. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article. It's a man standing at a podium that says Illinois on it. The caption reads, Bielema. The caption reads, Bielema standing at the podium for the auction. I'm sorry, this is kind of formatted strangely. Here it is. Brett Bielema, B-R-E-T, Bielema, on stage at Friday's Action Auction put on by the Rotary Club of Champaign. Here's the full article. In the unlikely event that Brett Bielema ever tires of his day job at the University of Illinois as the football coach, he has a clear career option, auctioneer. Bielema showed off his fast-talking chops at Friday's Rotary Club of Champaign's Action Auction at the iHotel and Illinois Conference Center, stunning the large crowd, jaws dropped, in a good way. It was so surprising because it came from our head football coach, Brown said. He was in a different role that nobody would have ever dreamed of. Who would have known of his hidden talent? Nobody involved with the event knew what Bielema had in mind when he got on stage. Soon he offered up tickets to marquee Illinois home games against either Ohio State or Southern California, including seats in the suite with his wife, Jen. Then he dropped into auctioneer mode, raising $5,000 for the Rotary causes. It was part of a record-setting night that raised $450,000. He was fantastic, Rotary member and longtime U of I Sports Information Director Kent Brown said. Matt DeFanis, courtesy of Brett Bielema. Okay, here we go. How did Bielema become so skilled as an auctioneer? It goes back to growing up on the family farm in Prophetstown. I remember going to different auctions with my dad, Arnie, for livestock. Hearing the guy call the auction and I was blown away, Bielema said. He gave it a try while doing his chores. When I was working with my brothers, I would fake auction off anything, a shovel, a gate, whatever it was, Bielema said. It was kind of just a way to entertain ourselves. During Bielema's football playing days at Iowa, an early time as a coach with the Hawkeyes, his auctioneering skill went dormant. He didn't do it again until he went to the University of Wisconsin as the defense coordinator. His boss, Hall of Fame coach Barry Alvarez, auctioned something off at a fundraiser. He was terrible at it, Bielema said. He was good. Everybody liked it. I walked up to him afterwards and said, you know, I can actually auction things halfway decent. It isn't bragging if you can do it. Bielema showed his auctioneering talent every spring at a Wisconsin football fundraiser. After moving to Arkansas as a coach, Bielema attended a high-end event where he auctioned off two tickets. I dropped the mic and walked off and everybody freaked out, Bielema said. He auctioneered at a small event early in his Illinois career without much fanfare. I'd kind of been laying low for the right moment, he said. Well, it came last Friday. The only one who knew what he had planned was Jen. She was sitting on ready because she's seen it happen many times, Bielema said. She was kind of excited to see it happen. Bielema is used to a positive reception from Illinois fans. It happens when you lead a team to 10 wins in a season, but this was different. I love it when you throw people curveballs, Bielema said. When I started doing it, I think everybody has this moment like, holy cow, this guy can actually do this. Wasn't near as good as the professional, I can promise you. Bielema's secret is now out. There will be more auctioneering for him in the future. Bottom line, it's got to be the right crowd, the right environment, he said. Does his auctioneer skill translate to coaching? Absolutely. One of the things we commonly say in the Smith Center is volume reflects confidence, Bielema said. The same thing when I auction. I don't know if I'm any good, but I'm definitely loud and assertive. It's something we literally preach in this building from the day they come in until the time they leave. There's one other photograph, a wider camera shot of a room where Bielema is standing at the podium again, but this time he has his arms pointed outstretched. And the caption for that reads, Illinois football coach Brett Bielema works the crowd as he auctions tickets during Friday's Rotary Club of Champaign fundraiser. That photo is provided by Jim Rosso of the News Gazette. And you can reach Jim Rosso at JROSSOW at newsgazette.com. And as a follow-up, Bob Asmussen is a college football reporter and columnist for the News Gazette. He can be reached by phone or email. His phone number is 217-393-8248. That's 217-393-8248 or Asmussen, at newsgazette.com. And as a quick follow-up, Actually, we're going to move on to top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Kim, K-I-M, Little, L-Y-T-L-E. Kim Little, who joined in 2005. We were brought together by a love of quilting and the creative process. Original members will be honored at the 40-year celebration, including Debbie Langendorf of Paxton. The women, a strong core of dedicated quilters club, President Kathy Diggs said, meet the second and fourth Thursday every month at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign to conduct business, hear from speakers, and share secrets. Their work benefits many from Quilts of Valor to Project Linus to Crisis Nursery. Are you interested in joining? If so, you can email Diggs, that's D-I-G-G-E-S, at kathydiggs@gmail.com. That's kathydiggs@gmail.com. Quilters of all skill levels are welcome to come and work together, she said. Congratulations to the Illini Country Stitchers, who this fall will celebrate 40 years of quilts, conversation, and community contributions. With 114 members from the Champaign-Urbana area, they're one of the longest operating guilds in Illinois. Just a lot of talented women and a really good group, said Tuscola's Kim Little. And there's a photograph, two photographs that accompany the article. One is a room. It looks like a large room with tables, kind of conference tables where different women are kind of spaced out and they're quilting, sewing, it looks like. And there's a woman, two women standing. It just says the photos are provided, so I'm not sure who these women are, but two women are standing and they have these really beautiful, colorful quilts kind of wrapped around them. So they are doing great work. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, drastic action may be necessary on the part of the Champaign and Urbana Water Company and on the part of the two city councils unless relief in the present critical shortage of water comes swiftly. It was apparent today when heat and continued drought, coupled with the fact that the largest of the water company's wells is useless, put the heaviest strain since the erection of the plant on the already overdriven pumps. The district in Champaign, west of Prospect Avenue, is entirely without water at peak load periods in the morning and early evenings, when water consumption elsewhere is heaviest. At other times, the pressure is very low. In 1975, by a 10-to-1 vote, the Urbana City Council decided to apply for a federal grant to support the Metro Police Diversion Project. Urbana would pay approximately $884 for the first year of the program, under which three social workers and two graduate students from the U of I's Jane Addams School of Social Work would aid police with crisis prevention on a 24-hour basis. In 2010, a consultant hired by the Champaign County Board of Health has recommended merging the two public health agencies in Champaign County into a single Board of Health. But the principals in the county's current public health structure say either that they are opposed or that they don't believe there is political support for the idea of consolidating the small county Board of Health with the larger and more established Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. And in international history, today's highlight. On June 3, 1943, an altercation between U.S. Navy sailors and young Mexican-Americans on the streets of Los Angeles led to several days of clashes known as the Zoot Suit Riots, during which white mobs attacked Mexican-Americans across the city, injuring more than 150. Now we'll take a quick look at our weather forecast over the next few days. It's warming up. Today, 88 degrees, mostly sunny and breezy, south winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. Overnight, becoming mostly cloudy, south winds 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 81 is the high, 70 is the low, a chance of thunderstorms, showers likely, cooling in the afternoon, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting overnight, showers likely. Thursday, the high will be 79, the low is 63, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers. Friday, more rain. The high of 70, or the high will be, 77, the low will be 63. Showers are 60% likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. By Saturday, sun and the high will be 78, the low will be 60. Partly cloudy, but sunny enough for no rain. As a quick reminder, the stories you have heard so far contain original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. The next headline reads, from Urbana Police, Champaign man gets probation for having child porn on phone. This article was written by Luke Taylor, LTAYLOR at newsgazette.com is his email address, and this article is based out of Urbana. A Champaign man pleaded guilty to possession of child pornography on Monday and was sentenced to 30 months of probation. Spencer T. Stout, S-T-O-U-D-T, 24, saw a second charge of possession of child pornography dropped as part of the negotiated plea. The charges came after Stout's girlfriend at the time called police on July 15, 2024, to report that while going through his phone while he was asleep, she found two photos of naked girls who appeared to be around 5 or 6 years old. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher said the girlfriend found the images on May 29th, but waited to call authorities until she figured out an alternate living situation. She searched Stout's phone again on June 16th and found 12 more photos of children around that same age, but by June 26th, the photos were no longer there, Fletcher said. However, she did find a browser app that had not been on the phone before. The search history included queries for child pornography in explicit language, Fletcher said. After she made her report, Urbana police officers obtained a warrant for Stout's phone and questioned him. Stout told police he was not the only person who uses the phone and admitted visiting a website featuring images of 5 to 8 year old nude girls multiple times. He initially did not admit to saying or saving any images to his phone, but once officers informed him of the search warrant, Stout said he did save photos to revisit later. Stout also admitted to viewing child pornography of children as young as 1 to 2 years old, Fletcher said. Stout's sentence includes the 5 days he served in jail after arrest, as well as 30 months of probation, during which time he will be required to pay court fees. The next headline reads, Champaign County Courts, Chicago woman pleads guilty to role in theft from car dealership. This article is again written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Urbana. A Chicago woman pleaded guilty to aggravated robbery in connection with a 2023 carjacking at an Urbana car dealership. Michela, that's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-L-A, Campbell, 23, was one of 4 individuals arrested in connection to the incident. Co-defendants include 23-year-old Deandra Young of Cambridge, 22-year-old Michael A. Roberts of Champaign, and another individual who was charged as a juvenile. Roberts and Young both previously pleaded to aggravated robbery in the case. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher said that if the case were to go to trial, he would present evidence that Campbell, another woman, and 2 men approached Crispin Auto Sales, that's C-R-I-S-P-I-N, Auto Sales, on June 7, 2023. The 2 men left while the women went inside the dealership and asked to test drive a vehicle. A dealership employee started the last drive with them, but quickly realized the woman in the driver's seat did not actually know how to drive. The employee had her pull over and began to return to the lot as the two women communicated by phone with someone else. As they returned to the lot, two men approached who appeared to be wearing different clothing than those who were originally seen with the women. Fletcher said that security footage showed one of the men holding something that appeared to be a firearm to the back of the dealership employee's head as he pushed her away from the vehicle. The employee told police that the man demanded she hand over the keys. Campbell remained in the back seat of the vehicle as this went on. The four individuals left with the vehicle. The vehicle was found by police the following day and stopped after a brief car chase in McLean County. Campbell was not in the vehicle at that time, but was identified in security footage at the dealership. In exchange for her plea to aggravated robbery, Campbell saw one count of aggravated vehicle hijacking dismissed. The negotiated plea included a sentence of 48 months of probation and 180 days in the Champaign County Correctional Center, though Campbell has credit for 140 days previously served. She will also be required to perform 100 hours of public service work. If Cook County Probation Services approve, she will be able to serve her probation there rather than in Champaign County since she has moved since her arrest. The next headline reads, Illinois State Police, four dead after a car hit by train on U.S. 45 in Shelby County. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, and you can reach her through email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Neoga, N-E-O-G-A. Four young men were killed when their vehicle was hit by a train early Sunday morning in Shelby County. Illinois State Police said Wesley E. Carver, 19, and Josiah T. Koons, K-O-O-N-S, 21, both of Neoga, and Christian S. Beckler, and Cruz M. Watts, both 18 and of Effingham, died in the crash. State police said troopers were dispatched at 4:21 a.m. Sunday to the area of U.S. 45 and County Road 400 North at about 3.5 miles south of Neoga. Their preliminary investigation found that a 2006 Cadillac DTS that Mr. Carver was driving west on County Road 400 ignored the stop sign at U.S. 45, then disregarded and went around a railroad sign, functioning railroad crossing lights, gates, and bells before it was hit by the train. The train was not derailed. The road was reopened at 9:41 a.m. And a photograph, waiting game. There's two boys waiting to go into a body of water. The caption reads, Aiden Bannister, 16, left, and Joe Roller, 16, both of Mahomet, fish for bass Monday at River Bend Forest Preserve south of Mahomet. Oh, I didn't see the fishing poles. They're right there, and they're fishing. That photo is provided by Robin Scholes, again, of the News Gazette. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025. I'll be back shortly to read part two of the News Gazette to you, so please stay with me. It's always a pleasure to read with you. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll be back soon. Have a wonderful day.